This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
Well, it is a great pleasure and honour to be with you guys today. And just worshipping with you guys today was great because God is on the move. Without a doubt, God's spirit and presence is here.
That's right.
Someone said, you might be small in number, but you are mighty. One man or woman with God is always a majority.
Yeah.
You are never inferior when you have God living within you. But it's been a great privilege to be with you guys today and to see God moving amongst you, to see different testimonies, and then to act out the testimonies. And I mean it by this. When a testimony comes, faith has arisen in the place because you see that God is on the move. And when you know God is moving, your faith will begin to reach out to the promises of God. And when it reaches out, you claim it for yourself. That's why we prayed for all these people. And as I was standing there, I was asking God, what is our response? When I bring this word, what is the response? And he told me two things, to pray for healing and then to pray for boldness and people to be empowered. And I guess so we're basically done with that. So we can finish early and have some food, which is always good. But God is on the move without a doubt. We came here yesterday with some of the guys to speak to some of the young adults. We had a blessed time. I was greatly encouraged because I saw men and women of God who were hungry for the things of God, who wanted to move on and were eager to learn. Not that we have all the answers, not that I have all the answers, but it is imparting Christ into people. That is what anyone as a Christian should be, imparting Christ, imparting life. Not imparting theology or ideas, though they are great, but imparting life into people.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that is what Jesus gives.
Right.
The Spirit is the Spirit of life,
yeah.
Of a newness of life. So we were there yesterday, and we talked about reaching out to people, about outreach, and how do I begin evangelizing? And we had a great time. We spoke about different things, about what we've seen, the testimony we've seen, and the healings, the salvations we've seen. And God is moving in Cardiff, but God is moving all over the world.
That's right.
He's not restricted to a certain geographical position. He is the God of all gods. He is the Lord of lords, the King of kings. And he is on the move through people who will be obedient to him. So I want to share some stories of what's going on in Cardiff. Currently, I'm leading an outreach in a place called Adamsdown. It's very close to the city of Cardiff, but a lot of asylum seekers, a lot of people kind of just placed into this area who have just come into the UK. They don't really want to be there, but they're there because they've been placed there. So we recently started outreaching in September. And we've seen in the past 7 months, two people saved, and we've seen people being healed. At one point, me and Jordan were out. And what we do is we just go out on the streets and we just pray for people. So normally we target the people with crutches. We target anyone who looks like they're limping. So there's one guy who was limping at one point, and he was on the phone. So me and Jordan followed this guy down. And now, as he was limping, he was still on his phone. So we've been following him for like 5 minutes. So we're like, all right, this seems a bit stalkerish, but we'll just continue and see what happens. And then at one point, Jordan said, Lord, cut off his phone now. And immediately at that moment, his phone got cut off. So we're like, yes, that's our cue to go. So we approached this guy and we said, look, we're Christians and we want to pray for you. And he said to us, are you doctors? I was like, what? Just because I'm Asian, you think I'm a doctor? No, we're just going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you in the name of Jesus to be healed. So we pray for this guy, a massive limp in his leg. And we said, how does it feel now? He said, it feels better. Then we went back a week later, and as we were driving down, we saw this guy, same clothes and everything, and he had no limp, like nothing in him at all. And we talked to him, and we said, do you know why this has happened to you? And he didn't understand English, but we just basically told him, look, this is what Jesus has done. He's forgiven you of your sins, and he's given this newness of life. Healings are great, but they are just a part of the gospel. We don't just want to see people healed. We want to see them into the kingdom and discipled to be like Jesus. But God is good all the time. So we've seen a lot of people healed. We've seen people saved. We had a great time in Caerphilly where we had this missions outreach. Over 3 days, we saw about 8 people saved. Loads of people healed on the streets. Just because God is moving. For me, when I go out, I want people to encounter the living God. Every time I go out, I want people to experience the risen King, because that's all I can offer people. He has changed my life, so I know he can change others. And that is my aim when I go out there. But what I want to talk to you today about is being empowered to be. Empowered to be. And I believe I have a word of God for you. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. Because everything that has come before is about this place where you've... a place where you're going to move forward and take land and take ground. And I believe this word will push you forward in that. I think someone said that. But this word will push you forward into greater things of God. So that's what I want to speak on today. As I speak, I want to remove any condemnation that comes. Any fear or any condemnation that says, I'm not living this life that this guy is talking about. I don't want anyone here to leave this place feeling condemned, thinking they're not worthy or they haven't put enough effort. That is not what I'm trying to do today. I want to remove the fear of reaching out to people. I want to remove the fear of you talking to people. If you don't speak, people won't know. But I want to remove that fear of you thinking that when you approach someone, they're going to reject you. Or what you carry is inferior to people. It's not. Everyone needs Jesus. You're here because you have been changed by this life of Christ. And you know you need to tell people. That's all it is. But I love that. I think that is the beginning point. A heart that is willing and ready to give out what they have already received from God. And I don't want to... I want to allow people to see evangelism not just as a church event, but as a daily life. To see people moving in this relationship with the Holy Spirit, where everything they do is evangelism. Evangelism isn't something we do, it's something that is a part of us. Evangelizing is preaching a messenger of good news. And I don't think we don't have this point where we begin evangelizing. I think the moment you are saved, you are a proclamation of the good news. You are a letter. You are an advert for the gospel. Because people see this changed life in you. People see this visible joy and this newness of life. They see this transformed life. And even without speaking, at times, people can see this transformed life. But I want to get rid of the idea that evangelism is just these events we do. But to live this daily life with the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, in obedience to the Holy Spirit, and to see God move. So a witness is someone who has seen something. If you look at it in law terms and things like that, a witness is someone who has seen or heard by personal perception, someone who was there and has seen something happen. It is a personal encounter or a personal interaction that this person has had. And that is what we are. We are witnesses of Christ because the Holy Spirit is the witness. Before we become witnesses for Christ, we must first become witnesses of Christ. We must first personally experience Jesus and then be able to preach him to others. Only what you have received then can you give. If you haven't received the love of God, you can't give it to people because you don't know what it's like. But only when you receive of something then can you know what it is. But we have personally encountered Jesus because his Holy Spirit now lives within us. Jesus isn't some far-off idea or theology, but he has made himself known through and by his Holy Spirit. So every time we come to the Word, it's not they're not rules and laws, but they're truths that are set in our hearts. But the Spirit is a witness in us. Acts 1:8, if you want to turn to that quickly. Acts 1:8. And it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Not you will try to be, not that you might be, not you have to pray more and then you might be a witness. You will be. Everyone here is a witness. You live in this state of being, not trying or striving. We always say Jesus has done everything for you. You don't have to work for salvation. So then why, when we live lives as Christians, do we think we have to try to do stuff now? We already live in the good of what Christ has done for us. But more importantly is realizing what he has done and then moving in the light of that. But the Spirit makes Jesus a reality in our lives. He takes the things of God and he makes it known to us. And the scriptures in the Bible, John 16:13-15 and John 14:26, it talks about the Spirit will remind us of what Jesus has said. We are witnesses of Christ. And I think it might be fair to say at some point, it is as if we were actually there when it happened. A witness is someone who has seen something by personal perception and has experienced something. But through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it is as if we were already there. Paul talks about in Romans, we have been buried with Christ and we have risen to a new life in him. Why? Because he says we actually died with Christ. When he was crucified, we were crucified. See, these things aren't ideologies. They're not these far-off principles. But they're a present reality and a truth in us. But personal truth is powerful. I grew up in a Christian home. I heard stories about Jesus had died for me. I'd heard stories of Jesus. But it never became a reality in me until I made a confession. And then when these truths came into my life, when they became personal, they made sense. They were powerful because I walked in the light of them. And daily and in different seasons, we are bought these, not new truths, because there is never a new truth, they are just truths. But these truths come to us, and when we walk out in them, they become personal and they become powerful. A witness without a voice is useless. When I became a Christian, I knew I had been changed. So to get out of speaking to people, I used to think, maybe if there's a non-Christian behind me and I open the door for them, maybe they'll see the life of Christ. Or maybe if I smile to someone down the street, maybe they'll notice Jesus in me and I can then explain the gospel to them. Everything I did was an excuse to speak or to not speak because I was too scared. But you know, everyone in the world is kind of nice. Most people will open the door for you. Most people in some parts of the country will smile. But it was just an excuse for me not to speak. If you had a witness in a courtroom, if he didn't speak, if he or she did not speak, they are useless. They've seen something, but if they're not going to speak about it, there is no help in the world. You can't get anything out of them. What is their worth? But personal truths are powerful because they become real to us, and that's what I've learned recently. Constantly speaking to people, constantly being in the habit of fishing for conversation. People are in Tesco's, people are in Sainsbury's. Get to know the people around you. Talk to them. Engage in dialogue, engage in conversation, but get used to speaking to people. And then as time and time goes by, you'll begin to gain this confidence. But the main thing is, you are a witness. Be. If you get anything out of from today, is be. Be as he is, because you already are. Don't try, don't strive, just be. But the Spirit has made known the reality of Jesus in your life. But this life of the Spirit is not something crazy and mad. It might be for some people. When I became a Christian 3 years ago, I wanted to talk to people and I wanted God to use me. There's a game called GTA. See, little kids smile like, yeah, that's me. Apparently it's a violent game. I don't know. I've never played or anything, so... But GTA is a game where you have to kill and shoot people and stuff like that. But you have these different missions. And when a new mission arises, the person that you have to capture is a guy with a massive arrow on his head. So you have a massive pink arrow on this guy's head. And you have about 2 or 3 minutes to chase this guy down, kill him, take his money, and then you've completed the mission. For a long time, I honestly thought that is how God would use me. Not to kill people, but to see this massive arrow on people's head, and I would know immediately who I had to talk to. Or he would just create this light around someone, and I'm like, yes, I know who I need to speak to. I quickly found out that's not the truth. It rarely, it's never happened to me. I'd love to see if it happened to anyone else. But the point is this normal life that we live indwelt by the Holy Spirit, it is just normal life. Every time I went out with Jordan, every time we went out into Adam's Down, we were always surprised about how normal it was. There was no supernatural light or manifestation. It was just, Jesus is in me. I've laid my hands on you. You're going to be well. And they were. It was taking God at his word and moving in obedience to that. That's all it was. But the life of a Christian is a normal life, but it is a supernatural life as well. It is a life indwelt, empowered by the Holy Spirit. But the empowerment is for a purpose. And people brought words about this commission Jesus gave us, and that is the purpose, to reach all the nations, to disciple them, to teach them, to obey everything Jesus said, and to bring people into the manifestation of sons in the kingdom of God. That is done by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And I believe today as you leave, you will capture something of being empowered by God and moving forward in that. It's not being empowered to sit in a church. It's empowered to go out. Whether that's to your neighbors, whether that's on Facebook, on Twitter, I don't know. But it's empowered to go out, to be outward looking. So why are we empowered? One of the first reasons I think we're empowered is because every commission or task needs an empowerment to fulfill it. When I was at school, there was this time where registers were taken on paper, and any child that wasn't present in a class, they would write their name on a piece of paper. Then these two school kids would go around and pick up this piece of paper and go back to reception. That was basically their job for a whole day, which meant that if you had lessons like science or maths, you could pick specifically which days you wanted to do that. And for a whole day, you wouldn't do any lessons. All you do is walk around classrooms and pick up a piece of paper. And I loved it. I did it like loads of times just to miss out double maths or whatever it was. But I couldn't have done that task if I wasn't empowered by my teachers to do so. If I wasn't empowered by a higher authority, I couldn't have taken those lessons off. When I was driving, when I was learning how to drive, I had to be empowered by the driving tutor to take hold of the steering wheel, to take a hold of the controls of the gears, and to drive. If he didn't allow me to do that, I wouldn't be driving now. But there is an empowerment to fulfill a purpose. And Jesus has given his commands. He's given us his purposes. He's given us his will, his direction, his guidance. And he says, go. I've given all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go. So go. We have been empowered. You have been empowered. You have been empowered. You are witnesses. Be as he is. But witnesses are empowered by the Holy Spirit, not to see and hear, but to do as Jesus did. See, the Holy Spirit has made Jesus a reality to you. He's made the words of Jesus a reality to you. If I told you you are forgiven, you would believe that without a doubt, because you know it for yourself. So it's become personally true to you. But the Holy Spirit isn't just there to make the word of God alive to you. He wants you to move in the power and the facet in the way that Jesus moved. To see the miracles, to see the healings, to see these wondrous signs and glories that all point to Jesus. Not to just see and hear, but to do as he did. And I want to, we'll move on to that in a bit. But the Holy Spirit empowers us, and this is the main thing I want to get to. The Holy Spirit empowers us for us to be a continuation of the ministry of Jesus. If you look at Acts 1:1, you're probably there already, but it says, as Luke is writing, he says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. All that Jesus began to do. These 3 years of Jesus' life on this earth was a beginning. He fulfilled loads of stuff. He fulfilled endless stuff. But it was just a beginning. For us to now have this Spirit inside us, for us to move as he did, to do as he did, to speak as he spoke. But it was just the beginning. We are a continuation of the ministry of Jesus. Right. To be as he is, because we have already been empowered as he was. Yeah. So I want to look at this from the point of Elijah and Elisha, if that's okay with you. I love the stories of Elijah and Elisha. Whenever I read them, I'm my perception and perspective of God always rises higher. Because I see these guys and I look at the miracles and I'm like, man, I don't even know if I'd have the confidence to say that. Imagine if someone came into Wales and says, on my word, it's not going to rain for 3 years in Wales. Like, who would have the confidence or the boldness to do that? It's just these crazy things that there's no explanation but God. But Elijah and Elisha were great people. They were men who moved in faith, who moved in confidence, who moved by the Spirit of God and did great things for God. I take heart when it says that Elijah was a man like us. But I take greater heart in the fact that God became man and came down to live this life that we couldn't live. What I also love about Elijah and Elisha is you look at the miracles they did. And I think it was Elisha, maybe Elijah, who was the first person to raise a man or raise a kid from the dead. There was no example he could go off. There was no person before who had ever raised the dead. He had no example to follow. He just did it. He knew who God was, and he had this belief in him that would say, when I pray for you, you're going to raise from the dead. You're going to be brought back to life, not because I've seen it done before, but because I know who God is. The things in the Bible are great. The ministry and life of Jesus is great because he doesn't give us guidelines and forms and structures. He doesn't give us a specific prayer to pray when we pray for healing. He doesn't give us this specific disciplined life. He doesn't give us our daily routine of life. He gives us these biblical principles, these truths, and we find for ourselves how they work out in our lives. There is no formula and structure when it comes to God. God will move how he wants to move. Because I think if there were forms and structures in dealing with God, we would rely more on the form and structure rather than faith in God. Right. Because if the form and structure worked, then our faith would rely on those forms and structures. And if those would fail, then we'd go back to the form and structure, not to God. That's why everything we speak, find your place in Christ. Allow him to work through you uniquely. Christ has indwelt us for us not to be clones of each other, but to bring out our true selves, for us to really see who we are in him. So when we talk about Elijah and Elisha, I'm not going to read the scripture, but it's taken from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 18. And in that, it's the journey of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah is about to be taken up into heaven, and Elisha follows him on this journey. Every place Elijah goes, he says to Elisha, I'm going to go to this place, but I don't want you to follow me. God has called me here, but you stay here and I'll go further. But on every single occasion, Elisha follows. I think that is the mark of a true disciple. One who never stops moving. One who continues to follow the master wherever he goes. But I want to look at Elijah and Elisha. I want to pick out a couple of points from what happens. In verses 11 to 14 in this passage of scripture in 2 Kings, Elijah is taken up into heaven. And Elisha is there to witness it. Because the conditions of him receiving this double portion is that he sees Elijah taken up into heaven. And what he does as this mantle, as this cloak, as this anointing falls is, the Bible says he tears off his own clothes. He tears off his own clothes and he uses the cloak to part the Jordan River, which is what Elijah had just done when they approached Jordan. So Elijah and Elisha are walking. They come to this Jordan River. Elijah takes his mantle. He separates it. He parts the waters. And then as they're walking, Elijah is taken up. The mantle falls down as Elisha is looking. Elisha comes back with the mantle, says, where is the God of Elijah? And parts the sea. As soon as he is empowered, he continues on what Elijah just did. He saw exactly what Elijah did and he moved in the same power because he had been empowered to do so. He didn't just pick up the cloak, but he used it. The Holy Spirit is in us for us to be used by him. Not to just pick up and admire, but to be used. The life of the witness is a life of power by and through the Holy Spirit. It's the tearing off of our own strength, our own clothes, our own abilities, our own talents, and to rely and focus on the Spirit of God. That's why we just be. We don't try. We're not striving to be evangelists. We're not striving to do evangelism. We're just being as he is, living life normally, daily, by and through the Holy Spirit. And if you're looking for something deeper today, I don't have it. That's all I have. Just to be as he is. I don't have formulas. I don't have structures. I don't have 2 or 3 point sermons. I just be. He's done it all. He's done everything for you. That's it. Just be. But it was this power from on high that he was clothed with. This is the clothing of a witness. Not a Jehovah's Witness, but a witness who has seen Christ, who has seen Jesus, and who is clothed from power on high. The Christian life excites me because it promises to be a life of the supernatural. It promises to be a life of excitement and power lived by God. And by the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, we have received the very cloak, the very clothing of Jesus. Different people's clothes have different smells. If I pulled out, I don't know, if my mum's coat was bought here, I could probably tell you it's my mum's because it probably smelled like her. It's the same with us. We smell like Jesus because we have received his very cloak, his very piece of clothing. You all here, as I look at you, you are Christ because you've been clothed, not just externally, but internally. The very spirit that was in him is now in you. It is in within me. It is within all of us that have accepted the gospel, who have come to realization that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But as Elisha received, he didn't earn it. He received because he was there. He was there. He was a disciple. He followed the master and he received. He received this cloak and he took it and he parted the seas. He was continuing what he had already seen. And when you look at the life of Elisha, he does, in his whole ministry, he doubles the number of miracles that Elijah did. But you reflect Jesus whether you know it or not. Whether you like it or not, whether you feel like it or not, you reflect Christ. But again, a witness without a voice is useless. We have to speak to people. We have to speak to people. In verse 15 of the text, Elisha parts the sea, and all the prophets say, he's like Elijah, or isn't that the spirit of Elijah dwelling in him? He had become so much like his master that people couldn't tell the difference. And that's what I love, that unity between man and God, where you can't separate man and God, it just becomes one whole nature. One whole indwelling of God in man. But it's not about feelings and emotions. It's never about that. And that at times can be hard to kind of differentiate feelings and emotions from our lives. But we live by the truth of the word. No matter what circumstances say around us, we live by the truth of the word. And I want to look at another thing. And to look at the different places Elisha and Elijah walked together. They walked through 4 places. One was Gilgal. One was Bethel. The other one was Jericho. And then the last one was the Jordan. And I want to look at 2 places because I think we find a lot from this. One of the places is Jericho. And if you look back in the Bible, you know Jericho is where the walls fell down. It was a place where people walked by faith. They walked about this wall. God commanded them to do so. And on the 7th time, and you know the story, the walls came down. It was a walk of faith. And as witnesses of Christ, which is what we are, witnesses for Christ, our walk is a walk of faith. One that doesn't look to the natural, one that doesn't look to what I visibly see, but a walk of the supernatural. A walk where we see the unseen. Taking the word of God and put it in it to practice. Recently in Cardiff in our life groups, we have student type life groups and people of younger ages. But it's always a blessing to hear stories of people saying, God spoke that I would be doing this in 2 or 3 years. But certain circumstances have arisen and it's not happening. But I'm still believing the word of God. The word of God will keep you alive. Because God said, it will. It will. Because you realize you can't live on this natural sustenance. There has to be a supernatural aspect, a spiritual food that we need to receive and live off. But the witness's walk is one of faith, one of seeing things when they can't be seen naturally. Believing in the word of God and believing in Christ, believing in who he has made you to be and walking out in that. So if you're thinking today, man, I want to move in the power of God. I want to see people healed. Move in faith. Walk in faith. Take the promises of God. Lay your hands on the sick. Speak to people. And allow God to move through you. Not because you're striving and you're trying, but you're being as Christ is. You've received the empowerment from on high and you're continuing the ministry of Jesus. Because you have everything you need. In John 6:28, this is after Jesus has fed the 5,000. And the people are on this boat. The disciples go over to the other side and Jesus then goes alongside with them. And some people ask, what must we do to do the works God requires? Should we pray more? Should we read the Bible more? Should we tithe? Should we go to church? What must we actually do to do the works God requires? And Jesus says this amazing statement. He says, believe in the one he has sent. That's it. End of. Believe in the one he has sent, and the rest will flow from that intimacy with Christ. Amen. Believe. Believe. Believe in yourself. Believe in what God has called you to be, what God has called you to do. Do what you enjoy to do. That's why I love the testimony of a girl who wants to do photography. Why? Because she enjoys doing photography. She doesn't want to be stuck doing something she doesn't like. But believe. Have faith. Have faith in the word of God. Have faith as you lay hands. Have faith as you speak to people that God will move. Not because I'm special, but because God is in me. And he's the one that deserves all the glory. So there is a walk of faith. The other one is the Jordan River. And Elijah and Elisha walk through it and they part the sea. But this is a place, when you look back in the Bible, is where the Israelites crossed over to the promised land. It was a symbol of death. It was a symbol of cutting off of this past, of the old nature, of trying hard to receive things. But they moved in into a place where they had received the promises of God and were now moving forward in that. Whenever we look at water in the Bible, we look at baptism. And baptism is a sign of death and burial. A death to the old self, but then a rising up as Jesus rose 3 days from the dead. But it's a death of our old selves, a death where we stop trying to do things by ourselves, stop trying to conjure up ideas in our minds. When I was on the Bible school last year, I wanted God to use me in words of knowledge and to see pictures. So for a long time, I tried to think of pictures myself, and it never worked because I couldn't think of anything. But then God just started putting like different images of trees and random stuff, which started making sense to people. Not because I thought it, but because God just, I just rested on him and allowed him to move through me. One of the best pieces of advice I've ever heard is, you know when God is speaking to you, you know it clearly. But for me, the problem is it actually God or is it just me? One of the best pieces of advice I ever heard is, let your default position be God. Anytime a thought or an idea comes into your mind, let your default position be God. Because some of the times the thoughts will be, pray for this person. So why in my own nature would I ever think that? But the Bible tells me I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. The thoughts I have are not my own, but they are his. Because he has indwelt me. Not just in my body, not just in my spirit, but in my mind. In every single aspect of my life, Christ is living. But it is a yielded vessel that God wants. A yielded vessel for his glory. And I'm going to finish off in a bit. But there's a story of Moses and the burning bush. And Moses is walking along the desert and he sees a bush that's on fire. And he's curious about it. It's a regular occurrence in the desert. But the strange thing about this one is it wasn't burnt up. It was on fire, but it wasn't burnt out. And he goes over to this bush and it's God speaking to him. Moses had a battle, I think, or a debate with God because God told him, I'm going to use you to set my people free. I'm going to use you to set my people free. But then Moses says, well, I can't do it. I'm not eloquent in speech. I'm not going to be able to do it. Moses had to come to a realization that he wasn't special. But the special thing about him was God dwelling in him and dwelling through him. That's why the picture of the burning bush is amazing, because it is a normal bush set alight by God, and that is who we are. The special thing about me and you is not my own personality, not my facial features, not how I dress. It is God in me. The special thing is the fire, not the tree. The God that dwells in me. And we need to get to this state where it's not all about us. As hard as it is to understand and believe, it's not about us. It's about God. But it's not. It genuinely is not about us anymore. Because Christ, it is his life. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Not faith in me. Not faith in my own abilities, but faith in this God who is able to do all things. For everyone who believes, for anyone who believes, the impossible is nothing, because all things are possible with God. But I want to finish there, because I think I've spoken enough and God has moved and it's time to go, more than anything. Time to be and time to go in the purposes of God. I've seen as I've sat in this place, there is a sense of people wanting to move forward, a sense of people wanting to grasp things in the spirit and move forward in that. And it's beginning to take place. Because anything I've spoken, you would have grasped one point, I think, at least. And you would have grasped this one point and you want to move forward in that. But greater than all these things, be. Don't try hard. Don't try and copy or emulate any single person. Yes, take examples in life. Yes, look up to men and women of God in your lives. But be, because he has called you to be as he is. You are already empowered by his very life and his very spirit and his very power to move as he did. Just be as he is. And I'm gonna pray. I'm not going to make an appeal for anything because God has already moved. But if there's anything I've said or anything that any of the other guys have ever said to you and you've picked up on it and you want to move forward on it, come and ask us and we will pray for you that something of Christ, something of his life will be imparted to you. And then we're going to do that. But I want to leave it at that because I know God is still moving and there'll be time to fellowship, there'll be time to talk and pray. But you've already been empowered. To be as he is. Father, I want to thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you that everything you do is good. Lord, I thank you that you have been glorified today, exalted high above all the heavens, above all the earth. Lord, you alone reign. Lord, for the words that have been spoken, they have been yours alone. And Lord, I pray for these truths that have been imparted into people's life. Lord, would you water them? Would you make it grow? And would you cause us to reflect more of you? Help us to realize in every single aspect we are witnesses. We have been empowered from on high. Lord, cause us to move in obedience. Cause us to move in faith. Cause us to move in the very spirit that Jesus moved in. And Lord, as we go out, as we move in faith, Lord, would we be able to see the fruit? Would we see people healed? Would we see people saved by your mighty power and for your glory, Lord? Thank you for everyone here, Lord. Thank you that you are doing a great work here, Lord. And you will continue to do everything until you return for your perfect bride. Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.